wanted to play that for a bit longer because it's such a beautiful song. It is 40 years since reggae singer Bob Marley died of cancer in Miami, aged 36, on May the 11th, 1981. And is one of the most celebrated and recognised artists in music history, with hits including No Woman, No Cry, One Love and Redemption Song. Marley was born in Jamaica in 1945. His childhood was spent in poverty and he had little contact with his father, a naval officer who worked for the British government. In 1972, Bob Marley arrived in Britain with his band, The Wailers, to tour with Johnny Nash. Or that should be Johnny Cash, in the hope of launching his international career. And launch he did for many. He's more than a music star, but a true cultural icon. What do you think, Tabor? Bob Marley fan?
Oh, yeah. I mean, gosh, beautiful music.
Isn't it? Yeah. Mm. And still relevant to so many people.
Yeah, absolutely. Accessible, relevant, yeah. You can connect to it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What about you, Jeremy? Marley fan or not?
100%. And one of my all-time favourite songs is Wait in Vain. I just love that song.
Yeah, fantastic. There you go. Some of the rental camper companies seal the cassette toilets and charge the renter if the seal is broken, says Nigel in Christchurch. Another one, Wallace, some companies were refunding a deposit if renters did not use the toilets. So there is a issue right there, isn't it? And Paul says, let's face facts. No one wants to drive with poo sloshing around in the back. We need hundreds of long drops built ASAP. Later we can replace them with super loos as funds become available. So quite a bit about freedom camping this afternoon. And a lot of I'm getting a lot of education today about the word parvenu. Do you know what parvenu means, Jeremy?
No. I'm assuming it's French, but no, I don't.
Yeah, and I'm assuming I'm pronouncing it correctly. And Anne says it's French in origin and used disparagingly by the upper crusties of long standing as a term of disparagement, generally because they flashed the cash and didn't behave in the traditionally discreet manner expected of the moneyed upper class. So thank you for that. It is 4:37, the panel, RNZ National. New firearms prohibition orders will make it illegal for certain people to access, be around or use firearms. Offences that will lead to a firearms prohibition order, including participating in an organised crime group or gang and serious firearms or violence offences. Alongside this, the government plans to introduce a new power enabling the seizure of assets of those associated with organised crime. Both bills will be in front of the House before the end of the year. There are fears that the new laws will affect Māori with only loose connections to gangs. Alexander Gillespie is a professor of international law at the University of Waikato. He has looked at this issue. Kia ora, Professor Gillespie.
Kia ora, Wallace.
What do you think? Do you support this legislation?
With the first one, with the firearms prohibition orders, yes, it's a good idea. Take a step back, see this as a sequence. Tranche one was removal of the platforms of the firearms that were used in Christchurch. Tranche two was the gun register, and this new one is making sure that certain people who are high risk are not allowed to possess or be near firearms.
There has been concern raised, including from the Green Party and the Māori Party, that Māori might be swept up, if you like, in the law by having these loose connections, quote unquote, to gangs. Do you think the concern is warranted there? What do you think of that?
I think there's a concern because of over-representation in the gang numbers, but the criteria that the law is looking at is if someone has done a serious criminal offence, whether they're a member of an organised criminal group or whether they're related to a terrorism-related offence. The point about the organised criminal groups, this law's been on the books since the end of the 20th century.
Oh, do you think this will make a real impact in terms of reducing crime?
I think you're never going to get it to zero, but each step is going towards a better control of the legislation that's out there. It's about trying to just make it a little bit safer each time. This won't end gun violence, but it's a step in the right direction.
OK. Okay, Tabor Khan.
Yeah, I mean, I really appreciate your thoughts on it being sequential, Professor Gillespie. I guess I'm wondering about your thoughts on the seizure of assets, you know, and the impact that that would have on... Look, we understand that, you know, not everybody is... well, there are people who are criminals and there are people who are not, but even criminals need... some assets. So I guess that's where the whole, you know, getting swept away with what this law can do on the impact of someone's life, that's where those concerns might be coming from. So I would love to hear your thoughts on that.
This amendment that they're putting forward is to a law called the Criminal Proceeds Recovery Act. And this is a law that came out under John Key in 2009. And since then, it's claimed about $1 billion back from criminals who, after conviction, cannot account for the assets that they've got. And so what you've got here is not a novel new step, but in addition to the already existing law. It's very effective because often it means that otherwise criminals can keep hold of their ill-gotten gains.
And this criminal process, you see it as quite an important part of it, don't you? The attention sounds similar to the original piece of legislation that came out under the John Key government, I understand.
Yeah, that's completely correct. Yeah. And so this is not a new law. This is just adding on what's already there. And it's proved to be very successful because otherwise you've got a situation where criminals could make a lot of money, get a conviction, go to jail, come out and get their money. This way it's making sure that they've got to be able to account legitimately for what they've got in the bank account and what they own.
Okay. Follow the money, as they say. Jeremy, what do you think? Thoughts?
I've got no trouble with the... you know, repossessing the assets, but I don't think the firearms thing's going to do any good. I mean, you're not going to stop baddies getting firearms, full stop. That's been proven. I'm a firearms licence owner. I own about eight firearms.
You've got eight firearms?
Yeah, well, I've got shotguns, we've got feral deer on our property, so we shoot them as part of pest control and obviously food gathering, and we've got rabbits and hares. I've got 22. We've got ducks, so we enjoy duck shooting. So, you know, I'm just a normal farmer, really. But I mean, but the reality is, you're never going to stop baddies getting hold of firearms. So, in principle, it sounds great, but you know, those gangs and co have still got a lot of firearms out there, and the police will never get hold of those, and they know it. So do the politicians.
Al, what do you reckon?
Well, in terms of the gangs are worth about 7% of the violence in the country right now. So they're disproportionate, but I agree with what was said. Often these people aren't going to apply through lawful means if they want to get a firearm. But it's still going towards stopping that pipeline and a greater control. It's certainly not going to end the problem, but I do think it's in the right direction.
All right, Professor Al Gillespie, thank you for your time there. Al is a professor of international law at the University of Waikato. It is 18 to 5. The panel are RNZ National. And it's nice to have your company this afternoon, and it's nice to have a lot of your feedback as well. We'll try and sneak some of that towards the end of the program. And look, if you do want to get in touch with us, feel free on any topic. You can email me, thepanel@rnz.co.nz. You can simply text us, 2101. To this. Now, people making capital gains on some investment properties can now be taxed up to 39% on their profits, a rate that is seen as high by some by international standards, reports Susan Edmonds for Stuff. Now, the gains are added to a personal annual income to calculate the tax applicable. The government introduced a 39% tax rate from this tax year for income over $180,000 and applied from April the 1st. The government estimates the change would affect around 2% of earners and deliver over $500 million for this financial year. With us to discuss is Terry Boucher, tax consultant from Boucher Consulting. Kia ora, Terry.
Kia ora, Wallace.
Good to have you on. 39%, pretty high by international standards.
It is. It's because we tax capital as income, and we just add it to our income tax rates. We've been doing this since forever, because we don't have a separate capital gains tax regime, and we don't adjust for inflation or length of time an asset has been held, as happens in other jurisdictions. So it's just treated as income, added to your other income for that particular year, and since 1st of April, that means for some people, it could be taxed at 39%.
Right. Yes, so in the UK, for example, capital gain on residential property, that's taxed at a maximum of 28%, I understand.
That is correct. However, the Office of Tax Simplification in the UK suggested to the government that it might want to look at the tax rates. And one of the proposals, this is in November, because one of the problems that emerges in the tax system, and it keeps people like myself in business, to be perfectly honest, is that if you did have a separate capital gains tax rate, as you do in the UK and other jurisdictions, then people look to say, well, okay, if that's taxed at 28% and my income is taxed at 45%, the top rate of income tax in the UK, wouldn't it be better if I taxed it as a capital gain?
Yeah.
So the Office of Tax Simplification said you need to look at this. Over in the United States, Joe Biden has put through a proposal that deals with this issue and saying, right, for people earning more than $1 million, the top tax rate will apply to your gains. You won't get a discounted rate. And the top rate there is going to be 39%. So jurisdictions around the world are looking at it and deciding it. And right now, actually, I suspect there are a few people who have Australian property who have sold it, who may find themselves looking at 45% on their gains in Australia. Because if you're a non-resident, for Australian tax purposes, you don't get any capital gains tax discounts.
Oh, OK. We've got a panel here too. We'll get them done soon. Someone wanted to ask, though, it's a wider question. On an international scale, what do you think? Just how taxed are we as a nation? Are we overtaxed? Are we undertaxed? Or are we about right?
How long is a piece of string is a short answer to that. And it's how what people want. If you were to take the OECD measure, then we seem to lie a little bit below what the OECD average is, which I think is about 34%. And if you add in rates, by the way, because they include council rates into their calculations, we're probably sitting at about 30%. The Treasury's last financial statement suggested our tax overall tax rate was about 27% of GDP. So we're probably a little bit below that. Where we have a problem, however, in our tax system is not at the top tax rate and not on high income earners. It's on low to medium income earners because we have not adjusted our thresholds for inflation since 2008.
Right.
So that someone on average in earnings now is their top, their last dollar is being taxed at 30% because they've crossed the $48,000 threshold.
Yes.
So that is the sticking point to me, in my view. I think it's something that's been allowed to linger for too long, and the government should be looking at that group of people on average and median earnings and adjusting it so maybe they're not being taxed at 30%. Their top dollar is 30%, or maybe at 17.5% rate.
Okay, very interesting. All right, Tabor Khan, do you have a question for Terry?
Yeah, well, look, just that last point, I guess I'm really curious about what the impact is on those low to medium income earners as a result of us not having adjusted the tax rates.
Well, it puts a squeeze on because suddenly your last dollar, if you jump the threshold, suddenly your tax income tax rate goes from 17.5% to 30%. The biggest single jump in the whole tax system. And it also tends to, there are also other things around. If you've been getting assistance in the form of working for families, those thresholds are relatively low as well. So once you start earning above $40,000, you find that you're not keeping as much of your extra income as you might think. It's the abatement rate for working for families is 25%, by the way. So every dollar over your threshold, you lose 25 cents. So it soon adds up. Effectively, some people could be on 50% tax rates without realising it.
Okay. Jeremy?
Well, I'm just anti-capital gains tax, full stop. And the reason I am is that, particularly at the moment, when you've got deposit rates in banks that are sort of 1%, and then you go, well, you know, if for a double income family and we've got a bit of tin and we can, you know, buy a renter and that's going to help our retirement, then, you know, you're being taxed potentially on your retirement savings at a vastly overpriced rate. And to me, in New Zealand, that's all we've got because banks are not paying you enough money to leave to leave your money in there. So, I mean, it's a bit of a conundrum, I reckon.
Terry?
I agree. The question is, it's about the question is whether we tax our capital correctly. Can I rephrase it like that? Whether I'm increasingly of the view that looking to apply what the set of rules we have for taxing overseas shares might be worth applying to residential property instead, where essentially on that we tax at 5% of the value of the shares. If you earn 10% from that, your quid's in. If it's less, then you might be able to use the lower amount. But it seems it captures the value that goes through, and it means that people do not suddenly get hit on the decision they have to sell for whatever reason. For example, if someone has to move from Wellington to Tauranga and they have to sell a property, they could be facing, under the bright line test, a significant capital gains charge for no other reason than they've decided to relocate. It's an issue we're dealing with right now in terms of the new legislation.
Terry Belcher from Belcher Consulting. Again, thank you very much for taking your time for us, Terry. Appreciate it. It is 10 to 5 there, the panel in Z National. With us today, we have Tabor Khan, founder and CEO of the Khadija Leadership Network, and Jeremy Rook, the sheep and beef farmer from Hawke's Bay. I got an email, actually, that someone says here, I understand that it actually is the end of Ramadan this evening.
Oh, so, that's great. Have they sighted the moon already? And I just didn't know because I'm sitting here with you. Could be possible, yeah.
I don't know, but they asked, do you have anything special planned?
Oh, do I have anything special planned? Yeah, lots of food with family and friends. Looking forward to it. And dressing up, of course. Attending the mosque, which has become a special occasion, you know, with COVID being such a barrier for such a long time.
Very nice. And someone says here, just reminding you too, that it's National Nurses Day today, a year when we've really needed them.
Mm.
Hear, hear. And this is from the part of an amazing PICU nurse. And on that note, I've got to say, when our little boy was extremely sick in hospital with a virus about a couple of years ago, it was PICU that proved themselves in Auckland to be an absolute star. I was so humbled by the staff at Auckland Starship there. So thank you very much for that reminder.
Mm.
Steve says, hi, all. I have converted my minibus into a camper van and have a porta potty, which I use when there is no toilet available, always responsibly. My vehicle would not allow a plumbed toilet. If this change occurs, I will have to get rid of my vehicle and I will never be able to afford another that will be compliant. Again, an ordinary, compliant, law-abiding Kiwi being penalised because of low lives who will still defecate in the bushes.
I was going to say dedicate.
Dedicate, yeah. There's a big difference between dedication and defecation, isn't there? 8 to 5, you're on the panel, the National. I'm very pleased we've got time for this. Have you ever heard of the East Coast Museum of Technology? Well, it's been around for 52 years and is home to ancient bicycles and lamps, home to scales, switchboards, radiograms, irons and more. It's East Coast Gothic, as they say. That's according to a story in the Gisborne Herald Weekender. And it's looking for volunteers and it's looking for funding. So for more of this, I'm joined by East Coast Museum of Technology's Marketing, Communications and Advertising Manager, Elise Miller. Kia ora, Elise.
Kia ora, how are you going?
Good. And every now and then the panel does go around the country and look at these, you know, sort of more, how you describe them, more out-of-the-way museums perhaps. And you couldn't, arguably, you couldn't get more out of the way than this particular museum, right? Because not everyone knows about it.
No, we are very much a diamond in disguise here on the East Coast.
In fact, was it you that said some time ago that you used to drive past it all the time, not knowing what it was?
Yes, that was exactly my words. So, yeah, I used to drive past and then one day I decided to drive in and see what was behind the gates and I have never looked back, actually. So,
What got you enthralled? What did it for you?
It was the conversation with the people that I was having out there at the time and the fact that I could actually learn something and that I could give back to my community from the being overseas and coming away, and I just wanted to learn more, and I thought, what can I do? And from there, it just grew. So, yeah.
Oh, wonderful. How do you become, because you are looking for the issue with this is that it's been going for a long time. It's a bit of a stable, but really it does need a bit of love and tender care, right?
Yeah, it does. So we have, what we're looking for at the moment is we need volunteers, and the best way to do that is to email us, and we need funders as well to keep us alive. And by meaning keep us alive, then we've got a building on site that desperately needs upgrading and renovations to it, which is the old Kia Ora Dairy Factory building, and it's a heritage listed building, and this is our hero, and this is going to be the hero for generations to come, and this needs earthquake strengthening and roof repairs, and this really needs, what I'm going to say, is a philanthropist that wants to give back to the community to keep our to help us keep the dream alive for generations to come. And the volunteers that we're looking for, we really need help to help us organise and curate those collections, to clean them up and to just find the beauty that's underneath yes. what people call the junk, because we can see the beauty, but other people see junk, and we're like, no, it's there.
Totally. because there is, I mean, look the images, look at the videos, there is quite a big collection of really wonderful, and also industrial equipment specific to the area. Jeremy, what have you got for this? I mean, this is really an example of a really wonderful community initiative, huh?
Yeah, I think so. I think, you know, anything that looks to preserve stuff and that's of value, then, the community should always get behind it. But, that's a wee bit far away for me.
Tauba?
I think Elise put it beautifully, right? It's about history, it's about whakapapa, and so there is so much importance to maintaining and preserving that for future generations. I love that. I think that's really important. So I do hope you find that philanthropist.
Yes, that's right. Yep. So to that end, Elise, for those who are maybe in the area, from the area, they have ties to Gisborne, they want to help a bit, where do you go?
You can either email us or contact our accountant, Callum Thompson, at Graham & Dobson. You can come and see us on Fridays, and we'll be there. So we'll sign you up and we'll go from there.
Contact us
on Instagram, sorry.
Good on you, Max. Instagram, that's the East Coast Museum of Technology. Max, I went to the Tech Museum, your museum, 20 years ago. It was the best museum ever. Oddly enough, though, the eyesight was very disinterested and didn't push it to a visitor like me. And I hope that's changed, Elise.
Oh, I hope so too. Please, we welcome everyone to come and see us. You know, there's something for everyone. There's something for the old. It's something for the young. It's got that nostalgic smell. It reminds you of your grandfather's shed when you walk in.
Oh,
yeah.
Is there one item that's particularly special to you that you can mention to us?
There's not one particular item, but it is the smiles that I see when they come rolling through the door, because at the end of the day, it's not about me, it's about the community, and passing on that information and those learning experiences for all.
Good on you. That's Elise Miller there from the East Coast Museum of Technology. So, Jeremy, when's the last time you were in Gisborne? You'll have to go there and have a look.
Well, funny you should say that, because I'm heading up there at Queen's birthday weekend.
Up to
Tolaga Bay, but I'll be going through.
Yeah. Do try it and give us your report back. By the way, someone says it's International Nurses Day because it's Florence Nightingale's birthday. Thank you both. It's been a pleasure having you on, Tauba Khan and Jeremy Rook. You've been very cool. What happens? You're a farmer. What happens now? What does the diary say for the next couple of hours for you?
Well, it was funny that Tauba said she's going feasting, because I've had to bring Mary up and she insists we go out for a smart meal tonight. So
awesome.
We're booked in at the Central Power Station, I think it is, Bistro, at 6 o'clock. So I'll go and wash down my dry mouth at the Masonic up the road, have a wee beer, and then go out for dinner. Beautiful.
Good to have you on. Jeremy Rooks and Tauba Khan, thanks for your time. I'm Wallace Chapman. See you tomorrow, 3:45.